Greetings in Jesus' name. It's really, really a privilege to be here with you. And the privilege we have as in general of gathering and meeting with people who love the Lord is something that we can't fully appreciate, probably because we've always had that privilege. But it helps us sometimes to think of what it would be like if we didn't. And it would be something that we would probably appreciate more if for a while we couldn't have it. But we should never stop being thankful for it. The thunder of footsteps when everybody went to Sunday school this morning, when preschool and primary, as they, to say they thundered back there is not quite right, but there was a small thunder going on there. And what I had to think of is, that means there was quite a few of them, and the huge potential that's here, and it was really a blessing then to see him here up here this morning, and the verses we're talking about, the Word of God, both verses of the preschool and primary, the Word of God, and how it was, I don't even remember what the verses were. One of them was, "The word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee." And then the other one was, "That word is a lamp to my feet." Now, I think it was A.W. Tozer that said that what a Christian needs, first of all, is a Bible. If he wants to educate himself, he first of all needs a Bible. And the next thing he needs is a good hymn book. And you have both here. Because there's more theology can be gotten in a good hymn book than in many, many other commentaries, probably, because a lot of thought has gone into this. There's so much condensed in a few words. And just the last song that we sang, "Come Gracious Spirit," the third verse, "Lead us to holiness, the road that we must take to dwell with God. Lead us to Christ, the living way, nor let us from his pasture stray." Now, the hymns are being discarded today or pushed aside a lot because they're not always that easy to understand. They're deep, many of them are, and they don't just, the meaning is not all at the surface. And that's the way the scriptures are as well. And I think when I'm not opposed to other translations necessarily, but you will find that our good King James Version that we sometimes use others to help us understand some things that we don't, but there's so much depth, so much poetry, so much meaning in some of these. A bit obscure, you have to dig, but I am coming to appreciate more and more this particular version, and I don't know if it's just old age or what, but I that's the way I feel about it, and the hymns as well. I'd like to turn to some of the most beautiful verses in the Bible, I think, and that's in Matthew chapter 11. Verses 28 and 29, and I know all of us are very familiar with these verses. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy. And my burden is light." So Jesus is speaking here, and he's speaking to those that labor. Now, labor here, there's nothing wrong with labor, there's nothing wrong with work, but that's not the kind of labor it's talking about here. It's talking about, it's more than simply working. This labor here implies working at a rate that can't be sustained. This is talking about a strain, This is talking about, it's like an engine that's under excessive load. It's going, but you hear it straining, and it's not going to last long. It's going to come to an end. If something doesn't intervene, this thing is going to stall, and it's going to stop. It might even be ruined. So that's what this word labor here means. It's not just work, because there's nothing wrong with work. But it means to be under a load that can't be sustained. It means to be fatigued and to be wearied. And then he goes on to say, all you that labor and are heavy laden. And heavy laden is kind of an extension of that same thing. It simply means to be loaded down. And that's the reason we labor. That's the reason we labor. That's the reason we strain, is because we're just loaded down. And we can be loaded down for a number of reasons. One of the reasons that people are burdened, and one of the things that burden us, is simply sin. And it can be a life of sin by someone who's not a Christian. That's a burden, at least when they're conscious of it. It becomes a burden, a heavy burden to bear. Or for a Christian, it can be a besetting sin, a sin that you want to overcome, but it just you're struggling with it, and it becomes a burden to carry. That sin that just catches you again and again, it becomes something heavy to carry. It becomes something you labor with. It's something that you're going, but you can't continue going like this. You can be burdened with discouragement. Discouragement can burden you, and that can happen when we fail. Discouragement happens when we fail to live up to our own ideals. We can get discouraged about that. It can happen when our ideals or our values are kind of come in conflict with the values, ideals, and the vision of our associates. So you have your ideals, and I have my ideals, and we have our values. You have your values, I have my values, and they're not always the same. And we can come out of I don't know if you've ever come out of a meeting where you've discussed some of those things, and you just see that the person, the others around you, or at least some of them, I just have a different idea than you do. And you come out of that meeting, you can feel that can be discouraging. So we can be weighed down by that, discouragement. Discouragement can be caused by trying to live up to other people's expectations of us. We're actually fortunate if we have somebody that has high expectations for us. And if we have somebody that cares enough about us to have expectations for us, we're fortunate. On the other hand, that can be a burden, especially when there's many people that have expectations for you, and they come into conflict. So you really can't meet both sides. That can be a heavy burden to bear. And sometimes we can be burdened by just overwork. And maybe that's because we're not organizing ourselves properly. I suppose the greatest example of an overworked man ever, I don't know who comes to your mind, who, besides your husband maybe, besides Moses. Moses would be the person that comes to my mind of the greatest example ever of an overworked man. When you think of what he was doing by himself, it's just unbelievable. But with some organization, he managed his workload a little bit with some help from his father-in-law. So sometimes we're overworked because we're not organized enough, but sometimes we simply may have more work than we're able to do, and for whatever reason, that's not what we're talking about now. It can be a lot of reasons maybe, but the truth is that sometimes we find ourselves with just more than we can do. And that's a burden. That's a heavy burden. And sometimes it seems like we get to a point in life and where all the problems come upon us at once. They kind of converge. It's one thing to meet problems one by one. We kind of get over them. But when they suddenly come at us from every angle and we don't even know which way to look, because if we turn our back on this problem, if we turn toward one problem, another one is going to catch us from behind. And they just kind of converge, and we feel threatened from all sides. That happens sometimes, and that's a burden. So what does Jesus say to us? Or what is he saying to us? He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor." You're wearied, you're fatigued, you are working at a rate that you can't sustain. You're not going to be able to continue like this. You're burdened with, for whatever reason. He says, "Come to me and rest." Rest is the sweetest thing that you can imagine for someone who is burdened. There's nothing better than rest when you need it. There's nothing that can take the place of rest. Rest will do for us what nothing else can. Nutrition, of course, is important, but it can't take the place of rest. Medication at times is important, but it can't take the place of rest. There are many, many words in Greek that are translated into English as rest, more than 12 probably. But this particular rest here, that where Jesus says, "I will give you rest," means two things. It has two meanings. It means to remain quiet. So Jesus is saying, come to me. If you're in any one of these conditions, whether it's you're burdened with sin or discouragement or trying to live up to expectations that you're not able to or just overwork, whatever it is, he says, come to me and be quiet. And he says, and then that word also means to be revived. So come to me, be quiet, and be revived. And that's what Jesus calls us to do. Now, the rest, there's another rest in this passage here, and that's in verse 29, the next verse. He says, it comes from a different word. And it means something similar, not exactly the same. It means to get relief, the other definition is cessation, or it means that whatever is going on that shouldn't be going on will stop. So we get some relief. So Jesus calls us; he invites us to that, and. This rest in verse 29 implies something more permanent than just a short little break. It implies something a little more permanent than that. So how do we get to that place? Where can we have more? How can we get to the place where we have more than temporary relief from our labors and our burdens? Well, Jesus has the answer here. He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart." So imagine this. I don't know where you are. I have no idea. I imagine that some of you are burdened and are heavy laden, because that just seems to be part of the human experience and the fallen human experience. We live in a fallen world and we face effects of that. And so it seems to be a part of it. So I can easily imagine that there are many that are experiencing that in some way, feeling burdened, feeling heavy, feeling late, like they're laboring, and like they just can't continue like this, or they won't, they'll collapse. So Jesus says to that, imagine this. He says, "Come to me," and then just be quiet, and you'll be revived. But more than that, because it's more than just stopping, it's just more than just that. He says, "Take my yoke upon you." Now, I haven't seen many yokes. I haven't really seen that, but I know what they are. And it's where two animals are are yoked, they're fastened together. They have to walk side by side. It won't work otherwise. They walk side by side, and it's common for an experienced animal to be yoked with a young, inexperienced animal, and the idea is that the young one learns from the old one. The old one is steady, strong, and he walks along, and the young one walks beside him and learns. So Jesus is saying that. Now, so we're in this position of being just weary and heavy laden. That we were laboring and we're heavy laden. And Jesus says, come, walk with me. And he says, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. So he invites us to be yoked together with him and to learn from him, from his gentleness, from his humility. And it says, you shall find rest. And this rest is more a permanent type of rest. It's not just a relief temporary, it's more a permanent rest. So can we imagine what Jesus is offering us? Or can we even understand what he's offering? He's offering to walk with us. And the yoke that he is inviting us to may be simply that we allow him to put his arm around us and be yoked together with him like that and walk with him, and he shares that load. He's not going to take it. He says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He didn't say that there's nothing to do. He didn't say that there is no burden to carry or no weight to carry. He just says that if you walk with me, you'll find it. And the word here, when it says it's easy and light, it's talking about being pleasant. And so I really believe that Jesus intends for our experience with him to be a pleasant experience on a whole, not just fun and games and frivolity. That's not what he's talking about, but something that we can honestly say, this is good. I am happy to be here. This is what I feel like I was made for. You know how it is sometimes when, even in our natural life, when we get to do something that we just feel like, this is what we're made for. This is who we are. When we're doing this, we're expressing ourselves in the way that we are. And when we walk with Christ and we learn to walk with him in this way and be yoked with him, I believe that's the way we feel. We come into the place where we say, this is what I was made for. This is good. He says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So I would like to encourage us, the next time we feel like those burdens are heavy, next time we feel like the problems are converging from every side, threats we don't know which one to deal with first, let's come to Jesus, be quiet, and allow him to revive us, and then stand up and walk with him and be yoked together with him. Let's kneel for prayer.